speak about the gospel to other people. And we said today is going to be a time of ministry, and I believe that because God says, I want to confirm my word with signs and wonders following. So if you're not seeing signs and wonders following, you've got to ask yourself, maybe there's a word that you haven't quite got right. Because if God confirmed the wrong word, and he said, no, it's okay to mix law and grace, it's okay to be under the Ten Commandments, and to be, but at the same time to believe the finished work of the cross, and he confirmed that, then we would carry on in our lost ways. And ultimately, it's him that's confirming his word. So I believe that there needs to be a word, first of all, that is preached. And so if you don't know how to preach the gospel of grace, I'd say, tonight I'm going to help you do a very basic overview, because the gospel of grace is the skeleton that everything else hangs on, and it hangs on beautifully, and it hangs on amazingly. So I'm going to need some volunteers. I'm going to need a Jesus. I'm going to need a new... No, I think you'd be a good Jesus, because you've probably got the longest hair and barefoot and full of his presence. So Andrew, would you come join me up here? I'm going to use a couple of illustrations this night. And then, Prof, I like you. Just because I like you, I'm going to get you up here too. You need to join me up here. And then just because we're not doing anything out with just guys, I'm not going to put a lady on the spot, but would a lady like to volunteer? Because I'm giving an opportunity. Come through. Okay, so we're going to use this as a representation of the cross. This is a timeline going from here. So Jesus, you're on the cross. Not anymore, but you know, for this illustration, yeah. I'm going to make him an Old Testament person. Okay, because he's in the Old Testament here. Lou, I'm going to make you someone in the New Testament over here. And I'm just going to borrow this for a minute, but you're going to be standing in the middle with a cross. The scriptures say that because of one man's sin, I'm going to be Adam. Because of one man's sin, death reigned. Romans 5:17. Because of Adam's sin, all of these people, except for Jesus, all of these people have been negatively affected. Death has reigned in their life. They are no longer able to save themselves or do anything for themselves. They are now, death is reigning over their life. Through this one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Now I sat down a while ago and I was sitting thinking, okay, I get that. God, us on this side of the cross, it's so much easier to look back and say, oh yes, Jesus, I can see how you've done what you did. And the scriptures help us, lean us towards believing how good our God is and how much he loves us. But what about these poor people in the Old Testament? Now I'm going to use a couple of illustrations here. And I used this a while ago as an illustration. I'm not going to talk about Abraham, because the scripture says that Abraham, because he believed God, it was credited to him as righteousness. So before the law even came, we're going to say that he's Abraham now. Just because God says, I want to show you how good I am to you, I want to show you goodness, and he says, I believe you. Okay. God says, bam, you're righteous. But he still went and sinned. I put inverted commas, because how did he know what he was doing? He goes off to a foreign land and he says, no, it says to his wife, no, don't say that you're my wife, because you're such a honey. Say you're my sister, and then I'll live. And he wasn't doing it out of any moral means. He was really scared for his life. So she did that, and God was his champion. He went to the kings. There was two cases that had happened, and he spoke to them in a dream, and he said, if you don't let this man go, terrible things are going to befall your family. And they did. They woke up from the dream and said, how could you do this to us? Here, take silver, take treasures, take cattle. And he walked away blessed because of his sin. Amen. We say, God, that's not God, that's not right. You don't understand. There's a right way to do things, and that's not right. But we're going to leave that for now. For this illustration, I'm going to show us, we're going to move over a little bit, into the Hebrew Ten Commandments time frame. And things happened where if a man committed a sin, and we're going to use these hangers as illustrations, if he committed a sin, the scriptures say, as soon as he found out that he had sinned, he was to go and to get an atonement. An atonement is the word for covering. Covering. And so he would take a lamb or a dove. How good is God? God says, if you can't even afford a lamb, that's okay. Well, go catch a dove. That's how good our God is. He's kind of saying, don't worry about the cost. I've got you covered. There's a dove, you'll catch it, and I've got your name all over it. So he would then go, take it to the high priest, this lamb, and the high priest would not look at the lamb and say, he would look at the lamb and go, yeah, but you must sort some stuff out too. He wouldn't examine the person, he would examine the lamb. And he'd say, the lamb, is it any spot, any blemish? No, it's perfect. So what would happen? The high priest would slay that lamb, and that would be his covering for a time. Because you can still see there's the hanger there. You can still see there. It was a covering that was only as good for till it fell off. And then, wait. So he would the covering was only good until the next time he did something wrong. Oh, this is getting a costly affair. Can you imagine how many little selling the lambs must have been a great... And then they put another covering on. And then he would be covered until the next... This is really adding up to an expensive venture. It was cheaper just to stop sinning. If you're in the Jewish culture, because this was costing you a lot of money. So I'm going to leave one there as a symbol of sin. Now the scriptures go on to say, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so that by one man's obedience, many would be made righteous. Now this is what the scripture says. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now I want to give you a hanger. You can hold on to it. It says, for our sake, he made him who knew no sin, there's no sin here, to become sin. So that, there we go. Can you take your hanger off too? So that we might become the righteousness of God. Now standing this side in the New Testament, we're sitting saying, okay, so I've got a measure of righteousness. I've got an ability to come before God's presence, but I've still got some puffy stuff I'm not too happy with. And the scriptures say that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to show you something what takes place. Because so often people believe this, that when we sin, God would come down in and he'd have these special glasses, and he would look at them and say, I can't see your sin. But really, there's actually sin there. That's why people believe it. But the scriptures say, when John sees Jesus, he says, behold, John's saying, he looks at Jesus and he says, behold the Lamb of God who has come to remove the sin of the world. Amen. So no longer were we sitting with a covering that we knew we had to carry this burden, because just inside my heart, I'm a puffy person. Terrible person. I've got to carry this. And who will get rid of this terrible addiction that I have in my life? Or this terrible bad mouth I have? Or these actions? I mean, who's going to help me from this? The scriptures say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. I'm going to take you straight away to this next scripture. It says that in Galatians that the gospel was preached in advance to Abraham. So even the people in the Old Testament were hearing, there's good news on its way. There is a Savior coming and he is going to deliver us. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we sit down on this side of the cross and we say, no, I can understand that, because the scriptures say we're in Christ Jesus. But what about these poor Old Testament people? Shame. What happened to them? The scriptures say that our God is loving and our God is just. It even shows us that the gospel was preached in advance to some of them, that they got to see the gospel firsthand. So we have this one person with sin, with a covering. If you can just hold it on for me there. And we have this person. You got one already? I'm going to substitute myself for another person here. Now, the scriptures say, Jesus says, if you just look at a woman lustfully in your heart, you've committed adultery. So I haven't done a single thing wrong, but in my heart, What is that? So I'm guilty. I haven't done anything wrong, but I've also got the Adam sin. Because remember, the scriptures say that we didn't have to do a single thing. We were all dead in our transgressions before we did a single or thought a single thing. So we've got multitudes of hangers here. Now, this is the beautiful thing here. Jesus' atonement doesn't just cover, and I'll show you why. Notice I've got an extra long one. Can you hold it out there for us? Because now what he did is his sin, the scriptures say, once for all. Was it Christian? Was it once and for all on this side of the cross? You can think about that and come back to me next week. Once and for, was it just for this side of the cross, or was it once for all? Because it says once for all our sin on this side of the cross, right? Or was it once for all? For all. For all. So, we're sitting on this side of the cross with our sin. But the gospel is also going to get preached to those that never heard, because Jesus isn't a liar. He says, the only way is through me. I've heard of so many testimonies of people who haven't had an opportunity to hear the gospel message and have had Jesus himself pitch up to tribes, Arab tribes, to whole nations, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So before a single word is uttered from us, we don't have to carry this burden of trying to get the whole world saved. We're free to be who we are with whoever God puts in front of us, if we want to have the privilege of sharing this good news. If we don't, that's okay. God's got it covered, because he is 100% loving. He loves them more than you love them. He is 100% just. He can't let them go to an eternity without hearing the gospel. He will take care of it, but he gives us this beautiful opportunity of responding to saying, I want to have a part to play in this person's eternity. So, once for all. It says that the sin of all mankind was put upon him. Now, I want to read you a scripture. It says, Paul's writing this, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How did he start that scripture off? He said, I have been crucified with Christ. Christ, can you open up your arms here? So it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. You see this? We are all in Christ. Now, it doesn't just stay there. I'm going to step out of the illustration for a moment. Can you just hold my sin for me? It's just a metaphor. Stay in Christ. You don't want to get out of that. That's a good place to be in. It says this. The good news is good news, eh? It says that Jesus, for as Jonah, this is Jesus speaking himself, saying, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So on the cross, the sin of all mankind was put upon him. All mankind was placed inside Christ Jesus. But then it goes to say, now we know that physically we're not in Christ, but that's what Paul's saying. He says, I was crucified with him. So Jesus and Old Testament and New Testament people come down to the lower regions, because the scriptures say that in the lower regions, if you guys can join me down here, it goes on to say, Jesus, have you got everyone's sin? Because they're no longer holding their sin. Your covering is more than enough for all of their sin. It goes on to say in Hebrews 1:3, when he himself purged, that's past tense, right? Purged, got rid of, expelled. It's called a violent expulsion. That's what the word purged means. He purged the sin out of himself. So him now, Jesus, carrying all mankind's sin, he now purges in the lower places. And after 3 days, come back, Jesus. After 3 days, raised again. You guys can join us up here again. Raised in glory. Raised in power. Still in Christ Jesus. But now let me ask you. New Testament believer, can I borrow you along this timeline for a moment? She has just given her life over here. She's recognized, yay, all my sins got covered. I'm now a believer. But 10 years later, she does something. What would be... She lies to somebody. At that point of doing this sin, right, this is a new sin. When does this get, when does she get to carry this?
Never.
She doesn't. Because all the sin, remember, all the sin was all put on him. So at the moment that we do it, boom. As we do it in this time, it was already put on him. And he had already descended down there. And he had already left it down there. So that we are free to be, wow, amazing, beautiful Christians. Free from any hangers-on to us. And the enemy would come and say, yeah, remember, the other day, you lied. You're such a puffy person. That's right. Take it to him. Because that's what he wants. He wants to start putting things on you that you walk around with guilt and shame and condemnation. And I'm just, if I could just try harder and kick this thing, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm just going to do. No. This was already settled over there 2,000 years ago and was already discarded in the lower places. So now, when someone, New Testament believer, comes up to pray for someone who's sick, so let me just check. How many New Testament believers are in this room? 1, 2, 3. Okay, there's 3 short. It must be all Old Testament believers. I don't know. So when this New Testament believer comes up and says, I want to pray for someone who's sick, right? Someone who's got an ailment, someone who's got a disease. What reason do they have? Imagine that the hangers was the sin. What reason does she have for her prayers to be disqualified? No reason. Because she is as righteous as God. God says, I've given you my righteousness. So now this covering that Jesus had wasn't just good enough for them, but she, sorry, can I grab it a sec? She now carries a permanent covering. We carry a permanent covering because we are in Christ all the time. And he is in us. There we go. He is in us. This new creation, this kainos creation says, not only is he in, were we in him, but he is now in us. A beautiful union that speaks about all the power and the authority in heaven that's been given to him. He's now saying, right, you too have no reason for your prayers, for your proclamations of faith, because I must differentiate between prayers and proclamations of faith. Prayer is when you're hanging out with God. But Jesus never said, Lord, you know I'm your son. This boat is rocking a little bit. Could you see it perchance, maybe, possibly, in your busy schedule to maybe tell the clouds to move off that side? He never did. Storm, be still. Lazarus, come forward. Pick up your mat and walk. There was a boldness and a confidence that didn't come from himself, but became because God had already clothed him with the righteousness that he knew there was no reason no reason. Let me say it again. No reason for his proclamations of faith to be disqualified. So you New Testament believer sitting over here, what reason do you have for your prayers, for your proclamations of faith to be disqualified this evening? You've just done something naughty, poofy. Today, what is hanging over your life? Covering. Jesus is covering. All the at what stage can she say, can she do anything that can cause her from to come out of that covering? The scriptures say she's a brand new creation. Brand new. So it's not like she can, for me, I often wonder, people say, can you lose your salvation? I'm saying, how do you stop being a new creation? Can you now, okay, I'm just not going to be a new creation. It's like denial, you know, you can't, you actually, you are. I'm going to stop being a guy. It's the same thing. Like ladies were going, I'm going to stop being a girl. Yeah, you try hard, it's not going to work. You're a girl, you're a guy. This is who we are. New creations. Thanks, guys. Would you give them a hand just for this illustration? Therefore, if anyone, let me say this again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This evening, we're going to be praying for people that need prayer. You know, Jesus prayed twice in a certain instance. He prayed for a man that didn't have sight. And he said, so what are you seeing? I see men walking around as trees. And Jesus prayed again. So we're going to be praying for people tonight. There is no ministry team. There is no powerful, anointed individuals. Only a group of powerful, anointed individuals. We are the solution to many a people suffering. I think we tolerate certain sicknesses, ailments. I don't personally believe we'll see one single wart in heaven. If you might be sitting there thinking, I'm perfectly healthy, but you got warts everywhere, I'm going, you're not going to find that in heaven. You're not going to find eczema, pimples. There's no bacteria in heaven, sorry guys. You won't find pimples there. You won't find poor eyesight there. You see, we tolerate so many things. We tolerate so many things because this is just this is the way things are. I got this bit of a limp because my dad had a limp and his dad had a limp and now we're just limping along. We don't have to live with a lot. And we are conditioned our whole life to believe that is just the way things are going to be. But this message, this demonstration of God's love, says no, there is good news. There is a hope, there is a future, there is so much more life in store for us. And I think I in my own life tolerate some things, just little niggly things. But we don't have to live there. So I'm going to ask for a word of knowledge. For some ailment that you think is in this place. Because you know what? I think faith has come to a place of saying, yes, God. Yes, God, use me. Why? Because I'm as righteous as you are. Give me something that you're feeling in the spirit that we've got that's going to get dealt with tonight. A hip. Does anyone have a sore hip in this place? There we have one. Something else? Headaches? Hands up for headaches. Couple? Asthma? Asthma, yeah. One. when we speak death to these conditions, because that's what you're going to do, you're going to pronounce, the way I pray is I say, Lord, there's an original blueprint for this body. Anything that's not lining up to that must move in Jesus' name. That's how I pray. I speak back to the cross and I say, Lord, this overpayment has set me free from having any guilt and shame for proclaiming through with power in this circumstance. So I'm free to proclaim with power. I speak back to the cross, the overpayment of all sickness to die. I love killing sickness. I actually believe it. I speak to the bacteria. I say, you lay down and you're dead in Jesus' name. Speak back to the virus. You die. You can imagine little spiritual daggers going through the systems of the people. Virus dead. Couldn't help it. Power of God. What can you do? What can you do? Stand up those that had asthma, those that had headaches, and those that had a hip problem. Would you gather around them? Whoever, don't have to have too many people, just if you're feeling like, yes, come on, God, we got to do this. We want to see this thing sorted. Because we're just starting. We've got so much time. If you don't have anybody around you and you have stood up to be prayed for, would you put your hand up? Just so we all, I want to make sure everyone that stood up. I was at a, not really a conference, but a meeting up the hill here, and the guy said, anyone that has headaches, treat it like a cobweb and just wipe it off in Jesus' name. And I thought, okay, I've got nothing to lose. So I did, and I spoke to the guy. He was the only one that was standing next to me. You know, I said, I'm going to pray for him. So I took my hands and I wiped it off like a cobweb. This isn't a pattern, but it's just the illustration of something so simple as if you see something like a cobweb that's just creating distraction, a prophetic gesture would see breakthrough. So would you just, we're just going to take a minute or two. Don't ask God to heal them. Pronounce. The scriptures speak very clearly. There's power in the tongue. Life and death in the tongue. Pronounce healing. Pronounce wholeness over these people. Let's take some time to do that. We're not going to take too long. Those that stood up for prayer, can you feel anything different? I know it's going to be quite hard if you've had asthma, but you weren't currently having heavy an attack to find things like that. But if it's headaches, hips that are sore, will you try and do something that you normally wouldn't be able to do? We're not testing God, but if you feel like there's a measure of breakthrough, would you, if you feel like your hip was sore, that you maybe move your hips around, walk, sit, whatever it was painful to you, that we could see a breakthrough in that. If you feel like, you know what, you don't be shy, ask the guys, is it gone? If it hasn't gone, if the condition is still there, pray again. Take a couple more minutes. Pray again. Speak to that disease. Knock it down. Replace it with the kingdom of God. Power, 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 power of God. To those guys, I don't want to put anyone under pressure. Grab a seat. But anyone that was standing up that has had some breakthrough in their whatever they were standing for, You? What did you have? Headaches and gone, eh? Grab it. Share it. Before you do, just hang on to the microphone. Guys, you know what the scripture say testimony does? It's the same word as do it again, God. So when we hear this, we're not just kind of saying, well, thank you, Jesus. We're actually saying, Lord, if you can do it in that situation, do it again. Share that word that you're just sharing now.
I've had a headache from the beginning of the year, and mainly caused from tension in my neck, but when we were praying, Robbie went like this, on my head, and my head's still tingling.
Hey! How many months is it? January, February, March, April? 3-4 months? That's a long time to be living with pain, eh? And we don't have to live with it anymore. See, we tolerate that. That's the kind of stuff I'm speaking about. We just tolerate, no, this is just the way it is. I'm just going to have to keep taking medication. No. The cross speaks of a better hope. Anyone else? You feeling something slightly different? I don't want to put you on the spot. Otherwise, we'll go into the next thing. Some other prophetic things. Come, guys. What are you feeling like God's wanting to do? Headaches? God's moved. Before I step off, let me say this. The scriptures say in some instances that there were healings and there were miracles. Miracles is what happens instantaneous, and healings, the scriptures speak about that as they went, they were healed. Now, that's not a cop-out. There was a lady that I spoke about this morning and the previous couple of mornings ago. I spoke it over her life, and I said, just because you haven't seen your growth in your neck go down straight away doesn't mean that God isn't wanting to heal you. And because you haven't experienced the release of pain in your legs doesn't mean that God doesn't want to heal you. And so I spoke to her. I said, as you go, watch how it goes down. And over the period of 3 weeks, I watched this growth in her neck just go shh, as she came Sunday after Sunday. And this good news just started to melt her heart to a point to where she's saying, I want to get to know this Jesus. Her legs were completely healed. And because of that testimony of hers, that night, we actually said to people to stand up if they had pain in their legs. And that night, a lady came to me and said, I stood up for prayer and I wasn't expecting anything, but hey, my legs also, there's no more pain. Because she had bandages binding up her legs the whole time. She couldn't walk. What else? God's wanting to do stuff here and through us. I'm excited. This is like a treasure chest thing.
Can I read a word?
Yeah. Go for it.
Thanks. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit and he came out after the water, and if you go into Matthew, and I just want to just throw this in for to build up your faith. When I was in India now, this is one of the scriptures that I walked on, because we need to believe in what Christ has done for us. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We have all the power available to us to get out and to do what He's called us to do. And those of you that have come here tonight and trusting God for healing, God is ready to heal you. Don't stand back. Come out. There's somebody sitting here with a tumor. You've been sitting here and you don't know if you should come out or go in or whatever. I'm challenging you tonight. Come and trust the Lord and you will see that tumor will fall off. And when you go to the doctor on Tuesday, he will find nothing wrong with you, because Christ heals all diseases. And let me just read the scripture to encourage you there. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, guys. This is a happy gospel. This is a happy book. And it's all about healing and deliverance and what he has for us. And it's so exciting. And he goes on here, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease. Listen to that. Every disease. I should have had a big amen there. I'm trying to get your faith to lift a bit here. Come on. Get excited about this. You should be swinging from the chandeliers by now. Healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Every disease and every affliction. If I read the word and God, Jesus has said, we will do what he did and more. That means nobody tonight can leave here without having God, Jesus having done something for you. And he goes on and he says here,
So his fame spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought him all who were sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains. Come on, if you've got a pain in the, you know where, come tonight, the Lord will sort you out. Those oppressed with demons, if you demonize tonight, come on guys, don't play around. Don't let their fear and all these things come upon you. Jesus Christ died on Calvary to set you free. He's preached it tonight. He's preached the good news of the gospel and the grace that we have here. Come on. Let's go out. Thank you, sir. There we are, sir. You and I are going to do it together, but amen. And he says here, disease and pains, those oppressed with the epileptics, paralytic. If you suffering from epilepsy tonight, now I've got a funny feeling in my heart. There's somebody here or a couple of people here that have been having hassles. Come. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. You don't have to walk around with that. And he says here, he healed them. And his fame spread all over. Guys, let's have faith in him. Jesus said, only believe. Let's believe tonight. And even the challenge that he's given, if you're sitting there with that, come out, just walk out with what has been said here. I challenge you. Jesus Christ will heal you. He will set you free, and he will put you into a new life that you always wanted. A life of his fullness and his grace. Amen.
Would you be all right to come play a keyboard just in the background for me? Thank you. That's a prophetic word. Anyone with epilepsy, or you've had epilepsy in the past, has been, you know, I even felt like when he said epilepsy, I thought, maybe you've had epilepsy in the past, and it's a constant fear of when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen again? That the enemy is saying, that thing which he's put on the cross a long time ago, he's threatening to just hook it on you again. Anyone here, put your hands up if you're carrying that fear of epilepsy, or you currently deal with epilepsy. Anyone? Okay.
Yeah, guys, I just feel like there's also a spirit of depression that's going to be broken over people. And sometimes it's not so much, it's not categorized as a physical ailment. But there's a spiritual battle, and yes, it can affect our bodies. And it's definitely, for a lot of us, it is, I mean, I've battled with it before, and it's a chemical issue. But Jesus chooses to bring that thing back, you know, under his lordship. So I just want to challenge any of you today, tonight, so if any of you have that, I want to pray over you, and I want to declare absolute freedom in that area, so...
So is epilepsy... Depression. I know someone else had a word here. Sore elbow. Anyone? We're auctioning off the highest bidder to get rid of anything and everything that you might be battling with. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've been suffering with like seizures, and not so much epilepsies, but seizures where it's all to do with my frontal lobe. And literally every month, once a month, I get migraines accompanying them. And I have just been like for nearly 19 years just saying to the Lord, it actually happened, funny enough, when I was reading the Bible at work, and my first attack came. So it doesn't surprise me where it came from. But it's just been something that I have continuously just try to handle. I have stood up every time for prayer. I've had times where healings come in the form of just heat over my head and the migraine's gone completely. But every month, and my close friends will know that, 3 days I'm down. And literally 2 months ago, I got up at 3:30 in the morning and I was watching God TV, and I was just battling with a preacher that was kind of knocking grace, saying that you can lose your salvation. And I turned the TV off, and I got down on my knees, and I said to the Lord, just explain this to me, Father, because I know I've walked with you for 20 years. I've done stuff in my life that I have felt like condemned by the world, judged by the world, and yet I know you've never judged me. And, you know, how is it that these guys miss it sometimes? And I went to sleep, and I had a dream, and this guy came to me in the dream. And I started saying to him exactly what I've just said to you. How is it that you missed the grace message? And he says to me, he says, well, I just went to heaven and I spoke to Paul. And now we all know Paul is the biggest preacher of grace. So I get like so excited in my dream. I'm like, well, you just met with Paul. You must catch it now. And the power of God just comes on me in the dream. And I start to, he comes up to me and he puts his hand on my head and I get electricity going through my mind. Like just complete electricity through my whole head in my dream. And the next moment my alarm clock wakes me up and I turn it off and I'm laying in my bed and the electricity is still going through my head. I have not had an attack since then. No migraine and no seizure. But I want to tell you, Satan is a liar. And it wasn't a week later that the Lord woke me up with this scripture. I just woke up and I just kept saying this, that when Satan comes in like a flood, God says he will raise up a standard against him. And that standard is you. Because inside of you is the Spirit of God, is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say he's going to raise up a standard somewhere else. He says that standard is you. When Satan comes in like a flood, whatever your situation is, he will raise up a standard, and that standard is you. And you have got that authority to take that thought captive that Satan puts there to say it is not from you. Look at the cross. Everything has been done on the cross. So whatever your situation is, you have got everything in the Word of God. You need to tap into that and speak back to him. The cross, it is finished. Everything we need is in him.
Amen. There's three things that came out just now. Epilepsy, seizures, depression, and sore elbows. If anyone's got any one of those or have had them, because I really feel like the enemy wants to keep tagging on things, saying, no, remember, this is going to happen soon. If you want to, just stand up. No one's going to ask you which one it is. No one's going to say, tell me now. We're not interested in your past. We're interested in your future. And your future is free of all of those things. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Brilliant. So he's saying allergies, viruses, it's all being settled as it came out. Sam, would you pray for the people? You said you wanted to pray for those. Would you pray for them? And everyone else, you know what? Put your hands up. The scriptures say don't lay on hands too hastily. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you put on hands on someone, you're speaking, pronouncing, healing, wholeness in Jesus' name. Go for it, Sam.
We just want to exalt your name, Jesus, far above every infirmity and all sickness here tonight. In Jesus' name, we speak to every spirit of depression. We bind you in the name of Jesus, and we command all infirmity to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And we speak boldly to all sickness now, that in the mind and that in the body, and we declare that it is finished in the name of Jesus. We just exalt your name far above all sickness. We thank you, Jesus, that death could not keep you down. And this infirmity right now, we speak to you and we command you to leave everybody in the name of Jesus. Depression, you will be replaced with joy. Unspeakable joy now in Jesus' name that will well up from the very source that is you and will infiltrate every mind and every heart right now that has been depressed and broken. In Jesus' name, we say, joy, you be released right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
When someone asks you, what's your story? We got so much to tell him. To tell them of his love and how it transformed our lives. There's so much to tell him of all these lives that we've come across and had the opportunity of bringing good news. Good news. You don't have to live in the place of where you were living. There is a hope and a future. There is a plan for your life. And there's a plan to prosper you. God said he would defend you. He would go before you. He would go behind you. He would surround you. He said that he would no longer leave you nor forsake you. He said he is for you and not against you. He said that how much more would he not freely give us all things in Christ? Because he sent his son. And I want to close off this evening because it's not about us. It's not about one person. It's not about the signs and wonders. It's not about anything, but it's about him and his love for us and his joy and his